This is the Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast with a new episode every Thursday. This week we're looking at upcoming releases including Getaway and One Direction, This Is Us. I have no idea what that is. Spoiler-free reviews of Kick-Ass 2 and The Butler are from the Outside In topic this week. It's a pretty slow news week, so we have two topics from listeners. One is our favorite villainous deaths and what movies made you leave the theater. We have latest movie and TV news, as always, including our own trivia segments. My name is Aaron Peterson. With me today are my fellow host, teacher Scotty Clark.
Hey, what's up, Mr. Peterson?
I'm supposed to call you Mr. Clark. Brian Williams.
Hey, what's up, bud?
Not much, man. And Justin McCumber.
Yeah, I got a little bone to pick real quick.
Uh-oh.
I wasn't here last week, as I'm sure every listener bemoaned and beat their chests in sadness over.
And then laughed hysterically?
Bemoan, you mean clap and do cartwheels.
Whichever.
Tomato, tomato.
You guys briefly talked about Star Trek Into Darkness being chosen as the worst Star Trek film of all time.
So you elect to start the podcast with a 45-minute solid.
I'm going to be quick and just say it is ridiculous to see to say that it is the worst Star Trek movie of all time. Even if you don't like lens flares, you still got to get past the terrible movie that is Star Trek V, The Final Frontier. Probably one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
I thought you were going to be
much
brief.
Less a Star Trek movie.
When does the
you
brief
get
part?
Past Nemesis?
When does the brief part start?
So all of you fuckwits that are too cool to be called a Trekkie, I think you got to be called a Trekker, and then you got to get all hipster shit and vote this one the worst film Star Trek movie of all time. You can blow me because it is probably the best.
And there go and 40, that's all I got 45 listeners. Why don't you mention Matrix Reloaded while you're at it? Just
no, it just it infuriates me that people
did you not work
want
in Lost
to
in there somewhere.
No, but you did, and I appreciate it.
If only we had talked about it last week.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't get to voice my frustration, so you're getting it now.
Just so you guys know, if you're still listening, we changed our feed this week. It's a new feed. It's in the show notes, so if you're hearing this, you probably
well
know.
Done.
I mean, yeah, if you're hearing this, you've already switched or it automatically switched you. But
if you're not listening to this.
If you're not listening to this. But it's possible you're listening on one of the media players or something and you haven't changed it. You have to go change it in your podcatcher if it doesn't do it automatically. So we haven't left. We're just in a different place because we had reliability issues with our previous provider. And we care about you and the ability for you to listen to us. What up? Brian's fantasy contest. Brian, tell them what you want to do. Let's do it at the beginning instead of the end when everybody tunes out.
Yeah, we're holding a fantasy football league. Millions of people play it. A lot of people love it, including a few of us. Everybody that listens to this podcast is invited. If we have an overwhelming amount, then we'll probably create another one. But basically, just for the time being, message us on Facebook if you want an invite. One rule, though, your team name does have to have something to do with movies or TV, some sort of reference to movies or TV.
So email Brian at thehollywoodoutsider.com. If you're interested, he'll give you more details. It's not a pay league. It's just play against us hosts. That's it.
Yeah.
And there'll be
yeah, I mean, it gives you an excuse to, hey, I beat Aaron this week, so yay.
Back about 10 years ago, there used to be this – shut the fuck up. There used to be this website that did kind of like a fantasy football, but it was with movie stars instead, where you created a fictional film and then you cast it with – actors, and then throughout the year, the movies that actually had those actors in them.
Oh, I remember
contribute
this.
Towards yeah. an amount. I don't know if that's still going on, and I for don't. The life of me, I cannot remember what that website was called. But if it's still going on, I think that'd be a fun kind of fantasy league thing to do with the show.
Yeah, we'll look into it.
I have to look into that.
Cool.
It's funny because Sony keeps tempting people and hinting and whatnot that Sinister Six is going to be an Amazing Man or Amazing Spider-Man 2, not Amazing Man, Amazing Spider-Man 2. And they just sent out a bunch of publicity photos. And one of them actually has a guy sitting on his chair outside a big giant sign that says Sinister Six.
So they're subtle?
Yeah, they're very subtle. Fuck you, dude.
Scotty, did you just say subtle?
He's making fun of me.
Oh, okay.
If you listen to last week's show, it makes a lot more sense. Apparently, I like to pronounce the B. Who knew? But what do you guys think? Do you think this means they're going for it? Like they are going to do the Sinister Six thing? It seems
oh, yeah.
pretty freaking
well,
direct.
Yeah. Yeah.
In another subtle news, Simon Pegg has been doing press for the World's End, and he did a little picture photo where he subtly points to Ant-Man behind him in a picture. And then when someone called him out and said, "Hey, are you Ant-Man or whatever?" He's like, no, it's just a joke because of my friend Edgar Wright, the director." And then he put, you know, hashtag I am Ant-Man. Do you guys think he's serious or just being Simon Pegg?
Man, I don't know.
I think he's kidding.
Do you?
Yeah.
He's just trying to cause the internet to explode.
I think if he was seriously going to be in the film, he either would have said that or he wouldn't have really said anything. But the fact that he said, no, he's really not, it's just for Simon or his friend Edgar Wright. I think he's kidding.
Well, you guys know the character. Would that work? I don't know anything about the character.
For Hank Pym? Shit, anybody could really play that.
Yeah, he's kind of generic.
Sounds like a fun movie to see.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see Generic Man. Mark Millar, I believe it's Millar, it's not Miller.
Yes, it is.
Creative consultant Fox recently stated that you definitely must see X-Men and Fantastic Four inhabit each other's worlds. Now, he did state that no crossover is planned, but do we really need this? Do we need X-Men and Fantastic Four in the same film?
Well, you know, with the way these films seem to be getting more and more popular and bigger budgets, bigger audiences, whether we really want it or not is kind of beside the point. For me, it makes more sense when you're talking about team films made up of, you know, these individual heroes, but to suddenly bring the X-Men and the Fantastic Four together. Do they need to be together? Not really. I mean, there's some comic book history to them interacting, and heck, I think Wolverine was even one of them for a little while. But with DC doing their Justice League build-up, and with Marvel, of course, with their Avengers and all those films, and now with Sony doing the Sinister Six coming into the Amazing Spider-Man, why, you know, I don't know. Part of me is like, why not? You know, if it's more spectacle, more fun, great. But if they're just going to be shoehorned in, I would rather not. Build up to it. Don't just, I don't know, in one picture, you know, one of the films, suddenly they're just there. I want a little bit of build up.
I could actually see, like, maybe more of a just kind of take the cameo route. You know, maybe not necessarily weave the storylines together, but I can see, like, Wolverine and the Thing playing poker. You know, they're smoking cigars. They're both cigar chomping characters. They're sitting around with a couple cigars, a couple of beers. They're playing cards. Thing gets a call or something like whatever. He gets in a page on his
pager.
Yeah, you know, whatever.
Where does he put his pager?
Well, I don't know.
You don't want to know.
Maybe he attaches it to his stretchy pants. You know,
where does he find a pager? That's the most important part. Where do you find a pager?
Just shut up.
What's a pager?
Exactly, youngin.
he takes off and whatever, they make some kind of wisecrack, what have you. And so then Wolverine, you know, sticks one of his claws into some money that one of the other players is like trying to take back off the table or something from the winnings pile. So
Brian, you know, wrote something a script. Like that. He wrote a script about this. He's like, all right. Segway doorway.
Well, here's my question, because we had the Wolverine movie recently, and that last Fantastic Four movie came out, what, 6-7 years ago?
It's been a while. They're rebooting it. Trank is rebooting it.
And I think that is going to be a big telling tale of how well that movie does, because I was not a big fan of the other two, so the reboot would have to be good for that to happen.
You're missing out, because that was art.
I like Chris Evans in it, but
everybody else sucked. I'd still like Chris Evans in it. I don't care. I can see him playing
two superheroes. No, I totally did. I would like to see him in the reboot as well, but I doubt that would happen.
I think he's busy.
No. Not at this point, no.
He's busy. All right, well, there's a couple of big directors that are in talks to reboot or remake franchises, which is weird that they're both working on it this week. Wanted director Timur Bekmambetov is in talks to remake Ben-Hur. That's the first one. Brian, is that one you want to see remake? Because I know you're a fan.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Timur Bekmambetov, but I don't know. It's been a long time since I've watched Ben-Hur, and so I don't know if I'm in much of a rush to see it remade. But apparently this is going to. I didn't realize Ben-Hur was even based on a book.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
And apparently the Charlton Heston version didn't really stay too close to it, but apparently this version will.
Yeah, it has a lot of religious undertones to it, if I remember right, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and yeah, it's supposed to follow Judah Ben-Hur all the way from like childhood being sold into slavery, and it's kind of running parallel with the story of Jesus Christ. So because apparently he actually meets him a number of times throughout his life.
Yeah,
so
he's the one that actually feeds or gives him vinegar to drink while he's on the cross.
Oh, really?
In the story, yeah.
Oh, you really did go to Bible class when you were a kid.
Yeah.
That wasn't all bullshit.
It's wrong.
Well, and Oblivion director Joseph Kaczynski, he's in talks to reboot The Twilight Zone. What do you think about that one? Is that one you were excited for?
Not really. I think Twilight Zone really fits better on TV and the short subjects, you know, the little short 30-minute deals. But, you know, the movie from, what, 30 years ago,
mm-hmm.
it did work. You know, they kind of they remade a lot of the
old popular
episodes, right, and with different directors and stuff, and kind of just made it more cinematic friendly. So, you know, I don't know. I guess it just really depends on if they're going with all new original stories, which now I believe you probably could, because there's the way technology has developed over the many, many decades. So
mm-hmm. I see what you're saying. It'd be easier to get a lot of the elements told now than it used to be.
Didn't they try to reboot that as a TV series in the 90s and it just didn't
work? They've rebooted Twilight Zone so many times. It's almost maddening.
And don't get me wrong, as cool as the Twilight Zone was back then, have you tried to watch one of those old episodes?
Yeah, I love the old series still.
The original, yeah, absolutely.
I can.
On Sci-Fi, they'd run the, you know, especially on like a holiday weekend, they'll play that like all weekend.
They're a slow burn though.
See, but you're in the newer generation. Not that we're in the...
Yeah,
I'm only a couple years older than you, but for some reason, you're 50 years behind me in maturity.
Well, you were raised in Bible camp.
Yeah, I know. He's raised on Twitter. Like, people seem to think these slow black and white movies are really, you know, boring. They're not. You're just used to faster-paced, you know, stuff going on. I like the old stuff. Not to date.
No, I like the actual story that's being told, but it seems like it's a 20-minute story that could be told in five.
Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes. But whatever what is that episode where the lady ends up, like, she's gorgeous, she gets her face, and she thinks she's the
Eye of the Beholder.
Plastic surgery?
Eye of the Beholder, there
you
go. That's
like my favorite one.
I love that episode.
That,
you know, and the one with Burgess Meredith, where it's just funny how he works at a bank and he just loves to read and he
time
loves
enough
to
at
read.
Last.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he takes his breaks in the safe and all of a sudden everything around him gets wiped out and he comes out and it's like, all right, great. Now he's got all the time in the world to read and his glasses drop and he ends up breaking the lenses and he can't read. It's like, yeah, he went from hell to heaven, back to hell.
Yeah.
It's just
I also like the one where it was like four strangers in a round room and they're trying to climb out and a bell is always makes them fall from the top of it. And I come to find out that they're all like toys at a Salvation Army thing.
Oh,
yeah.
See, there's
yeah.
ones you like. You
can, no, you can I like I said, I like the ideas. It's just that they take so long to tell because it's almost like they have to stretch it out for the full 20 minutes.
I actually think they should do an anthology. I don't think you can do one whole Twilight Zone movie with just one story. That mm-hmm. doesn't seem to – wouldn't make any sense, really, with the way it's told. But just make them, like, you know, a half hour each, and then you can tell a pretty good story in a half an hour. I don't know. I'd rather see that than a series again. I don't want another series. Can't keep up with that crap. Sony is partnering with game developer Naughty Dog – this is for you, Scott – to bring Watch Dogs to theaters near you. It's a movie based on a game that hasn't even been released yet.
And this is a weird one because obviously the game hasn't come out, like you said, and we know very little about this game other than some of the mechanics that are involved in it. So I honestly can't even tell you what the story's about. All we know is that the main character has the ability to use a lot of the technology around him to hack things with using a cell phone. So he can change street lights
mm-hmm.
using a cell phone. He can hack security cameras and use them to locate positions and that kind of thing. But there's very little known about the story. But with Naughty Dog behind it, it's going to be a good story. Naughty Dog is most recently did a game called The Last of Us, and it's one of the most emotionally engaging games I've played as far as character development. Justin, you can probably agree with me. And I'm interested to see what it is. I just know very little about what's going on in the story.
It's a story, though, that seems like it's ripe for a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just think about the all the films that have, you know, got those views of satellites looking down on everyone, everyone's cell phone spitting out information about them, every closed circuit television camera watching everyone, and the game's about manipulating that data. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, shit. If Tony Scott hadn't died, this would be a film right up his alley. So, mm-hmm. But the fact that the game's not out yet and the film is in, you know, they're working on it, I think you're going to see that more and more.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, they've got...
They can synergize better.
Yeah, I mean, they've got movies based on books and series of books that aren't even out yet, so...
That's true.
You know, why not?
I could see it. I mean, that's how they associate media. You make a lot of profit with associated media, so...
And people in the gaming world are very excited about that game. That's one of the top 5 or 10 games that people are looking for in the next generation, so...
I'm sure you're just waiting for the next Mario or whatever, but that's cool. One last thing that isn't on the format, but Steven Spielberg pulled out of American Sniper. Wait, that sounded wrong. He backed out, and now Warner Brothers and
not any better.
Warner Brothers and Clint Eastwood are working out a deal for him to direct, and that's the movie about the Navy SEAL Chris Kyle, who's going to be played by Bradley Cooper. So, what do you guys think about Clint Eastwood directing Bradley Cooper?
Slipping
into Bradley Cooper. Put that on the poster. Clint Eastwood slips in. Never mind.
That sounds like a terrible prison movie.
It does. What do you guys think? I think that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, I don't really see anything wrong with that.
I don't know. Eastwood's last couple movies really haven't done a whole lot. I'm not sure how he would do with an action movie.
Did he direct Trouble with the Curve, or was that he just?
Yeah.
I like that movie.
No, he didn't direct Trouble with the Curve.
No, okay.
He starred in it. No, that's one he didn't direct.
Okay.
I think it's his first movie in forever he hadn't directed. But he's done a lot of other ones, and he is hit or miss anymore. Some of his movies are kind of boring. Some of them are fantastic. It really, you just never know with Eastwood. Selmy's a cranky old man.
Is he going to be in it as well?
No, he's just directing. Just directing.
I mean, does anybody remember Hamburger Hill?
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
It was okay.
No.
Heartbreak Ridge? Was he? No, not Hamburger Hill. Heartbreak Ridge.
Heartbreak Ridge?
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, it still was not very good.
Because he didn't do Hamburger Hill.
No, that was one of those knockoff ones that, you know, comes out about the same time.
Yeah, pretty much.
They named, you know, Armageddon, Deep Impact.
And Elmore Leonard passed away. If you don't know who Elmore Leonard is,
you're an idiot.
Or you don't know who Elmore Leonard is. He's a writer. He's very well associated with a lot of popular. What, Pulp Fiction-y kind of crime films, such as Out of Sight.
Get Shorty.
Get Shorty, the show Justified. I mean, he's really involved with a lot of stuff, and just a fantastic writer. A lot of his stuff emphasized the character, underworld characters. So it was just a sad loss. Great writer. So, home.
Welcome to Brian's Trailer Park. Fuck, now we turn Buddhist or something?
Home.
All right, well,
You want Scotty to talk about Jesus some more instead? And would you prefer that?
Actually, yeah, I would.
Give us a lesson. Give Justin a lesson.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only
begotten
Son.
Oh, God, Brian, go. Seriously.
All right, first up is How I Live Now. It's about a New York girl spending the summer with family in England. Takes a little while for the locals to kind of accept her, but she meets a handsome young fella. She's having fun, then boom, World War III happens. Literally. A nuclear bomb's dropped on England, and soon the whole UK is this chaotic military state, and Daisy finds herself hiding out and fighting to survive. Aaron, what'd you think about this one?
It looks really interesting. I normally don't like romance movies, you know, because I don't have a heart, but it seemed like a very, very interesting romance, something I haven't seen on film done. I like the way that they seem to be presenting the story. Just right up my alley, surprisingly.
Started out like it was just going to be a hippie movie. I really, it totally was. Even when like the whole change happened and it was like the war was going down and that kind of thing, Mm-hmm. I just totally thought this was going to be a flower power thing and anti-war. But no, it actually took an interesting turn. And I love the disaster aspect, especially that the disaster didn't happen right there, but like within view of where they were, basically.
And then
it slowly came to them, so they kind of knew it was coming. I thought that was pretty cool. And I've never seen that actress before. Have you guys?
Hannah.
Mm-hmm. Hannah.
She's in the movie Hannah. You should definitely check it out.
Yeah.
Very good actress. She's like an up and comer. She was proposed to be the Scarlet Witch for the Avengers 2.
Mm.
And for whatever reason, it didn't work out.
I don't know. To me, this movie screamed CW. It seemed to turn a little bit better once the nuke went off and the darker aspects of the story started coming up. But even then, you know, the loud music towards the end of it just. To me, it seemed like something you would have seen on the CW.
But you love the CW.
I like Supernatural. Mm. One show does not make a whole channel liked.
And Arrow.
Yeah, sci-fi.
I don't watch Arrow.
Oh, I thought you watched that one.
No, I don't. So, you don't know what to talk about. Don't you look dumb now. Don't you look dumb now. I don't know. It didn't really do anything for me.
Could have sworn you were praising it months ago, but all right.
I saw the pilot. I haven't seen anything since then. Be that as it may,
nerd fight.
This one didn't really do much for me.
Well, I don't know. To me, it didn't look as CW as Vampire Academy.
So. That was our other option. We passed on that. Apparently,
that's good because that looks
so.
Like
it's so shitty.
Just kept waiting for Buffy to show up and put every one of those bitches out of their misery.
Buffy from 1990. Not even the show. That's how cheesy old that movie looks.
Oh, man. How I Live Now doesn't have an opening date in the U.S. just yet, but Magnolia Pictures has picked it up, so we might know something soon. And just a little editorial little thing. My late run with Magnolia movies, they ain't too good. Just saying.
All right, then.
Just my two cents.
Okay.
Just throwing it out there.
We caught it.
Do with it what you will.
Trying to get it to leave is what I'm trying to do.
Well,
move on.
All right. All right.
Let's go. Giddy up.
Giddy up. All right. Back and to the left. Back and to the left. What comes to mind when I say that? Kevin Costner and JFK, right?
Yep.
All right. Well, our next movie is called Parkland, and it shows what happened in Parkland Hospital in Dallas, Texas. What?
Where,
representing Parkland Hospital? Yeah.
That's where President Kennedy was taken after he was shot. Paul Giamatti plays Abraham Zapruder, the man who was filming probably the most important home movie ever made. Justin, you're our man on the ground in Dallas. So, or at least in the Dallas metro area. What do you think about this?
You know, I'm not the biggest JFK movie fan. I feel like I grew up in an era when that was such a big thing and still remembered so well that I kind of had to, I don't know, not rebel against it, but just kind of give it my young surly meh. And so I never really got too much into the films based on it or any of the TV shows. So when I started watching this, I really expected to feel the same way about it as I have everything else. But it just really kind of grabbed me. It has got so many well-known actors in it. They all look like they're doing it. Even Zac Efron actually looks like he's putting on a good performance here.
Like he's actually acting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like he's actually, yeah. Like somebody, he went to a coach, got some lessons,
and class.
You know, now he knows how to put some emotion on that pretty boy face of his.
Yeah, he sure grew up. He totally looks like a legitimate actor. I don't mean that as a bad way
like
as it sounds.
He doesn't look like a teen star anymore.
Right.
Yeah. It actually does look really good. I actually wouldn't mind seeing this. Given that I've driven through that area and seen the grassy knoll, it would be interesting to see this movie and what all they do with them.
And it's a different take on it. It's not just the assassination or just a conspiracy, if you know there is one. It's all of the events. I mean, it's a lot of different things.
It's like from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
than we've seen before.
Mm-hmm. In the trailer, the people in the hospital are talking like, oh, he's probably got the flu or something. You know, when like they didn't know because news didn't travel nearly as fast in the 60s as it did as it does now. So
well, they don't let them have their Twitter and stuff in the hospital while they're working.
Probably.
So I'll give you a little secret. I actually took a JFK assassination conspiracy class.
The whole class?
My dad was obsessed with it. This is back when we were making up. And I was really into it because I really love the idea of there being this multi-involved conspiracy that hundreds of people would have to know about and still keep their mouth shut for years. But so we took a class, and it went through every possible theory that there can possibly be for this thing to happen. It was really interesting. Hmm. Just a little side note, little fun fact.
Yeah. And Parkland Hospital, one more little fun trivia piece. Kennedy, Lee Harvey Oswald, and Jack Ruby, that's the location that all three of them died.
Ooh. Wow. That's part of one of the conspiracies, actually. True story. Well,
All right, well, when we do the JFK After Dark, you can host that.
Really? Let's do 15 more minutes on Star Trek. Can we do that? That would be fantastic.
Oh, please?
Yeah. Well,
hey, Justin, you obviously live down there. Have you ever been to the spot in the little museum thing?
Yeah, he said he's been to the grassy knoll.
Yeah, I've been there, too. They got, like, an X in
the book repository, that.
Same here. It's kind of creepy. There's literally a big white X on the street.
Yeah. They always want to be reminded that dude got shot there.
Mm-hmm.
That's our claim to fame.
Mm-hmm. And there's always some guy smoking behind a tree.
They've got like 12 different guys on payroll just rotating shifts.
They just go, "Hank, you're supposed to be smoking behind the tree, son of a bitch."
Damn it, I've already had 12 in the last hour.
I needed a sandwich.
Have you seen the milkman? Milkman is good.
The crow flies at midnight.
All right, before this goes off the rails anymore here, Parkland opens later on this year after debuting at the Venice Film Festival first, but we don't. Again, this is another one we don't have a date for you just yet, but keep your eyes open. Yeah. You guys can call us or text us at
8 Where should they look? Back and to the left. Sorry, yeah, I should have got that joke in faster.
There was a second spitter.
Back and to the left. Hmm. All right. Well, you guys can call us or text us at 818-814-6246 or 818-81-I'm-a-ho. Our email is feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Get us on Facebook at facebook.com/thehollywoodoutsider. Tweet us at @H_outsider and get your official I'm a ho t-shirts at thehollywoodoutsider.com.
Stump the ho.
Stump the ho. Each week, whenever we do it, one of our hosts posts a trivia question.
Every week, man?
Yeah. We don't do it every week anymore. We do it often.
Every week-ish.
Every week-ish.
You just never change the notes.
Yeah.
Just edit an ish in there.
One of our hosts posts a trivia question, the remaining host, in an attempt to stump their fellow hosts as well as you listening. This week, it is Justin's turn. Stump us.
All right. Earlier, we talked about Elmore Leonard. And while I was researching the guy, I came across an interesting little tidbit. In nearly every film made from his books, there is a scene where at least one thing happens to a character in all these films. What is it? A, they get locked in the trunk of a car. B, they get hit over the head with a bottle. C, they play a slot machine. Or D, they get shot in the foot.
I'm going to say...
Every film. Brian? I'm sorry, Scotty?
I'm going to say a hit over the head with a bottle.
Okay. Aaron?
I'm going to say locked in the trunk.
And Brian?
I'll go shot in the foot.
And A for Aaron. They get locked in the trunk of a car.
I already knew that one.
You fucking...
Hey, you asked me a question. I knew it. I'm happy. That doesn't happen very often.
That's true.
Yeah.
See, there you go.
Nice job. That was a very good question. I'm very proud
of you. Thank
you. Good question because you knew it.
Yep.
Now it's Aaron's hour, so I'm going to go... Make a sandwich.
Don't drop some kids off at the pool. Hang on.
Yep.
Don't bother. You don't need feedback or anything. Well, we're going to review a couple new releases. Unfortunately, I saw both of them. So Scotty's going to talk in between. But the first one is Kick-Ass 2. Feel free to jump in if you find anything interesting I say. Kick-Ass 2 is... Dave is once again played by Aaron Taylor Johnson, because he needs three names, and just wants to fit in. So he joins the Justice Forever group, led by Colonel Stars and Stripes, played by Jim Carrey. Hit Girl, or Mindy as she's also known, Chloe Grace Moretz, because she also needs three names. On the other hand, she's trying to fulfill a promise to her adopted dad and leave her superhero ways. Of course, in comes the motherfucker, who's played by McLovin. That's his villain name.
I know, really. I still love that.
Wants everyone to pay for kick-ass, killing his dad in the previous flick, so he hires a bunch of evil bastards, led by a really kick-ass, sadistic Mother Russia, to go out and cause a bunch of havoc. Evil things happen, people die. Hit Girl has a mini Mean Girl 2 film in the middle of this, and decides that she wants to get back to work, and everybody collides in a giant showdown. So first up, Aaron Taylor-Johnson is boring. He's a good actor, I have no doubts. I liked him in the first movie, but for whatever reason here, he just shows up, does what he's got to do, and leaves. The only thing he brings new to the movie is he worked out a lot. So his abs look fantastic. Christopher Mintz-Plasse is McLovin in everything. Everything the guy does, he's just McLovin. There's like a couple scenes, and there's one scene in particular, and if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about, where he's in prison talking to his uncle. And it's a long scene, and some things happen, and he does a great job. I thought, wow, they're going to have a huge arc, and he's actually going to turn into a real villain. He's not going to be this goofy-ass McLovin bastard. Nope. Ends up being McLovin the rest of the movie. Just totally wasted, because I really think he could have pulled it off, and they just didn't let him. Chloe Moretz, fantastic. If you loved her in the last film, you're going to love her here, except for there is a little section where she's trying to fit in with teen girls, and it goes on a little bit too long. But it's Hit Girl. When she's Hit Girl, it's on fire. It's awesome. Jim Carrey, Justin. For all the hype that he's been making by protesting the violence in the movie and everything else, his character actually hates violence and basically implies it. He doesn't really use violence. So it's kind of odd that he's so against his character. Or he's just against the movie in general, whatever. But he's pretty good in it. I mean, there's no mugging or anything. He plays the role completely straight and he comes off fine. Jeff Wadlow's the director. He took over for Matthew Vaughn, and he just cannot find the right tone. That's my biggest problem with the movie, is it feels like a series of vignettes. It doesn't feel like one cohesive story. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that really took away from a lot of it. So while not nearly as good as the first one, and McLovin is really wearing very thin with me, I'm really tired of that character in everything he does. Kick-Ass 2 still gets a 650 out of 10. I mean, it's still fun. Still love Hit Girl. It's just too uneven to recommend. And I really want Hit Girl to be spun off and do her own thing.
How's the action? Because, I mean, they made it...
It's good. The action scenes are good, but there aren't as many of them. And the action scenes without Hit Girl just aren't as fun.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason. I mean, her character is just... I mean, she's the one you really root for and you get into. And the director just doesn't have the same grasp of the material as Matthew Vaughn did. Biggest problem. So $10 full price, $6.50. Scotty, you also, we're not going to review the whole thing, but speed round, what did you think of We're the Millers? You finally got to see it.
Yeah, we already did a full review last week, so I'll just talk briefly. I went and saw this this past weekend, and guys, this movie is seriously worth a look. It made me laugh way harder than I was expecting. I went in hyped.
Was that wrong?
No, you were correct. You're right, but you sold me so much, and I didn't expect to like it as much as I did, and it's my kind of humor. It's very funny. Jennifer Aniston, like you said, is hilarious. I laughed out loud on more than one occasion.
Even that strip dance where you think it's going to be groan-inducing because you're like, oh, how long is it? But it's actually really good.
It was. It was good. And there's some stuff after the credits that's particularly funny, too. I thoroughly enjoy this movie. And it takes a lot for me to see a comedy in a theater where I want to see it again and I want to bring people to watch them laugh at it. And this is that movie.
So what'd you rate it?
8.50 out of 10.
Hey! Look at that, and you've been all critical lately, so that's saying something. I also saw The Butler. I'll try to be brief. Not brief like Justin. I'll be like actually brief. Forrest Whitaker stars as Cecil Gaines. He's a former houseboy in the South who, and that was his title, don't be giving me letters, who makes his way to D.C. to become the butler for the White House through 8 sitting presidents. And he's married to Oprah. The film recounts his years throughout the various administrations as civil rights issues wage in the background. And while Cecil is playing kind and respectful, his oldest son, Lewis, is fighting for the African-American condition. I mean, it's through the same time frame. He's going against the KKK. He's joining the Black Panthers, et cetera. There's a lot of, you know, Dad, you're way too passive. I'm going to go off and I'm going to fight the white man and get our rights. You know, that's basically what the clash is. The film tells history very similar to Forrest Gump, which is it's a man's journey through time as a way to showcase the history that actually occurs during that time. Mm. Not so much about the man. It's more about the politics, I would say. The difference is this is busted Oscar bait. I love everyone in this movie. Forrest Whitaker's a great actor. Oprah Winfrey, for as much as they give her shit, she's actually a very good actress. Lenny Kravitz is in it, does a great job. Cuba Gooding Jr., there's a lot of cameos by a lot of rich white people, like Robin Williams, John Cusack, Jane Fonda, even Mariah Carey's in it, which didn't even know it was Mariah Carey until the very end. She doesn't speak, don't worry. The only one that really impressed me was David Oyelowo. I don't know how to say his name. I have no idea. I looked it up, and I even looked for try to find it, and I couldn't find it. But he plays his son, Lewis. And he's like the son who wants his father to fight back. That's really what his role is. And he was the most interesting character in the entire movie. I loved his play. I would have rather just seen a movie about him than the actual butler. But it's a good movie, but it tries way too hard. Every scene screams, I'm acting. You know, watch me. Look at me. I'm acting. The music swells. Yeah. Look at me. I'm audio. The music swells for everything. And it drags on way too long. It's easily 30 minutes too long. I mean, I think the movie's longer than the actual civil rights movement. That's how long it felt. So, but my biggest issue with the movie is precious director Lee Daniels presenting this as a true story. Because I love biopics, and historical ones especially. But outside of Cecil actually being a butler at the White House, almost most of this movie is not true. He never had a son that was going against everything. His father was never killed in the vicious way the movie shows, which is a real big proponent for how you feel about things going forward. So that I don't like that kind of stuff because it's just false playing on your heartstrings. I'd rather actually, if you're going to tell me something as a biopic, I want to see the real story. I don't want to hear you wanting to get your personal stuff in there. It's a lot of that. So, and he never even had a son. That was really, he had one son, but not this son. He has two sons in the movie, and the one son he goes against doesn't exist in real life. So when you sell me a true story and you tell me how much of it is actually fictionalized, I just don't want to see it. Just not interested.
It seems like a weird time of year to put an Oscar bait movie to.
Well, I think they probably would have released it more closer to winter, but I think once they realized that it's not as strong a contender as they hoped it would be, they pulled it. They moved it back to where August, where movies like The Help and stuff have been successful. So that's why they moved it.
Like but, even he, or even they realized that.
Well, I mean, that's what big companies do. They know when to release a movie. And it'll sell. It's an interesting movie. It's interesting to watch. But it's just that it's not solid enough to be an Oscar contender, but it's not light enough to not be a good movie. You know what I'm saying?
That makes sense.
So if $10 is the full price, I'd give it $6. Let's go to box office. Pacific Rim is officially bigger than the Avengers in China. So, woohoo! But it flopped in Japan.
Which is so weird.
Yeah, you would think they would like their big giant monster movies, but they don't.
They were having flashbacks.
They were scared.
Yeah, it was reminding them too much of their home movies. Godzilla and mm-hmm. all the other ones walking around.
Their home movies. The Butler opened to $24.6 million. It was huge. We're the Millers held on fantastic. $17.9 million. It's already got $70 million in the bank. It's going to be a $100 million blockbuster. Elysium did not. Drop 54% to $13.6
million. That's a bummer.
It's got $56 million. It won't make $100 million. Plane,
that's a real shame.
It is. It's very good. Planes, $13.3 million. So it's still hanging in there.
People, what?
Planes beat. Planes in its second week beat Kick-Ass 2 in its first. Kick-Ass 2 opened to $13.3 million. It flopped.
And they've been marketing the hell out of that movie.
There will not be a Kick-Ass 3.
I don't think so.
I want to see more Hit Girl. I love Hit Girl. I want to see her when she's legal. Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters, 8.7. Shut up. $39.2 million. Jobs.
Man, that movie's tanking.
Yeah, it is. Brian saw it, so, you know, thanks for contributing.
Yeah, but I didn't spend, you know, $25 million on tickets. Spent like 20.
Jobs absolutely flopped with $6.7 million.
Yay!
And Paranoia, that Liam Hemsworth movie with Gary Oldman and Harrison Ford, that caliber of cash you would think would be fantastic. $3.5 million.
Is $6 million really considered a flop if it only costs $12 million to make? Won't they make that?
Those stars, yeah, I think they were expecting better.
Yeah, they were expecting. Ashton Kutcher, that's his second lowest opening ever.
All right, folks, we've got four movies to talk about this week. The first one opens up on August 28th, the other three on August 30th. Closed Circuit is a crime drama directed by John Crowley and starring Eric Bana and Rebecca Hall as two lawyers slash ex-lovers who find themselves put in danger after joining the defense team for an international terrorist trial. For me, this one looks incredibly dry and stodgy, but what did you think, Aaron? You going to zoom in for a close-up on this?
Really?
Yeah.
It's Eric Bana. No, I won't.
Why do you hate the Bana?
I don't know. I don't hate the Bana. He's an ensemble.
Yes, you do.
He's an ensemble actor. He's not a lead actor. He just can't carry a movie on his own two shoulders. I'm sorry. I've seen several movies where he's a lead. Never has he carried a movie. The only time where his movies work with him in it is when they're ensemble or he's in the background somewhere. Mm-hmm. Black Hawk Down, Munich, stuff like that. Then he's good because he's only in there for a little bit. He doesn't have the, forgive me, charisma to carry a whole movie. So anytime he's the lead, I just say no.
Wasn't he Nero in Star Trek?
Is that a lead role? No.
I hate to say, God, this pains me, but actually I got to agree with you. I love Eric Bana. I'm a big fan of his, but I believe he's like Statham. He's really more, when he's at his best.
He's better as a side item.
Yeah.
Not as the main course.
Exactly.
This is one of those trailers that has a lot of actors in it that I like in other movies, but this story just bored the crap out of me. Nothing's interesting at all about the trailer for me.
Because Eric Bana's in it. I'm just kidding.
Just won't let it go.
I do like him. I just don't like him as lead. People listening, you understand.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do. They've actually emailed, tweeted.
They all hate you. Mm. They're all siding with me. As they did on Tremors. All right, August 30th, first one up, Getaway. This is an action film directed by Courtney Solomon of Dungeons & Dragons fame and starring the action powerhouse known as Ethan Hawke, along with Selena Gomez and John Voight with a stupid accent. Brent Magna, yes, I said Magna, played by Ethan Hawke, must get behind the wheel and follow the orders of a mysterious man to save his kidnapped wife. Brian, I know you've had a similar experience in Atlanta several years ago, but somehow you were able to keep it out of the media. So does it grind your gears to see it now bastardized and starring the kid from Dead Poets Society?
This is one of about four movies that I've seen trailers for recently that all look like, I don't know, they should be starring like 50 Cent or Dennis Rodman. maybe
Casper Van Dien.
Casper Van Dien, yeah.
Well, I haven't heard that name
Richard
in a while.
Grieco.
Exactly. I don't know what it is, but there is
Dennis Quaid.
Oh.
Ooh. Hey, let's not get personal.
He's not even defending.
I don't know what it is. Like, it's the one with Harrison Ford and Gary Oldman. This one, Getaway. There's one or two others that I've seen, and they look like straight to DVD
shit.
Crap.
You know, it's funny you say that because I actually like the concept of the movie, but it's something that I don't want to go to see the theater. It's something I'm going to rent and watch on a Sunday night. Just
if you were unhappy, just don't leave the house. Cheapest divorce ever. You just wouldn't have to do it. You'd be like, oh, you can have her, and just not drive. The thing I didn't, if you've watched.
Yeah.
Leave. We have your wife.
Yeah, let's leave the humor to the professionals.
Let me know when they show up. So, Selena Gomez, is she like 8 when they made this movie? Because she looks about 5 years younger than she does right now.
She really does.
She does not look, this does not look recently filmed. Because I saw that Come and Get It video, and she does not look the same as she does in this film.
I didn't know you were such a Selena fan.
I kind of like that video. Hey, moving on.
We're all gonna. Oh,
Justin, please move on before it gets any creepier.
All right. Well,
don't edit that out.
Unfortunately, don't you edit shit, bitch.
I'll edit whatever I want, bitch.
Next film up, because you know we need to continue Aaron's perviness. One Direction. This Is Us. grabbing all the money we can while you give a shit documentary is about the bandmates' rise to fame from humble beginnings.
Who are they?
They're some fucking Brit boy band that got famous on their X Factor show over there in the UK. And every tween girl and teen girl I know just slobbers over these nitwits, my niece included. Usually I wouldn't give two shits about this band or their film, but this documentary is actually directed by Morgan Spurlock, whose previous documentaries include Super Size Me and Freakonomics. He also has a TV show that he was doing for a couple of seasons I really enjoyed. That doesn't mean I suddenly want to spend a couple hours of my life watching girls scream their heads off at these assholes, but I am a little more intrigued than I was a few minutes ago. Are any of you interested in One Direction? This Is Us.
This is one that I will watch at some point on cable and not tell anybody that I've ever seen it.
Pretty much.
You'll go to a hotel, right. Order it up on their HBO, and then you'll leave.
Private date night.
The thing with One Direction is, as far as like boy bands and pop music goes, they're not terrible. Like, they're not Justin Bieber. They're not a lot of the junk that's out there that they write some catchy songs, you know, for pop music.
Can you sing a couple of them for us? Because I don't know if I would actually.
No, you would recognize them probably from movies and TV shows.
Oh, it's a different band. Oh,
that's in sync. Who's getting together back on Sunday? By the way.
Oh goodness, I'll have to check that out.
So, I'm not going to rush out to the theater to see it, but like Brian said, I might catch it some, just because those kind of stories interest me, the rise to stardom and seeing how they start with humble beginnings. But I'd be more interested if it were a band I cared more about. But
you know the music then?
Yeah.
It's actually pretty catchy.
It is. You'll know the songs. I'm not going to sing them to you, but.
Would you? I'll light a candle right now.
You don't know you're beautiful, girl.
He actually did it. Did you hear him?
I did. I heard that.
I heard it.
Nice job.
That is not getting edited out.
My nether's tingled a little bit.
You know that song.
I just threw my underwear at him. Ew. Yep, he made a tent.
It stuck to me.
Anyway, people, if you want to see this, I would highly advise you to just go out and rent PJ20, the documentary about Pearl Jam. It's a much better viewing, I'm sure. I loved that one, and it's about a band that is fucking worth it.
Look at Justin. Right. He's making it about him.
I can't stand Pearl Jam.
Oh my god, we're gonna fucking move on.
They had a cool first album.
I am going to pretend I didn't fucking hear that.
They had a cool song.
Last
Jeremy for hell.
Rest his hair, a pillow made of concrete.
Go ahead, Justin.
I will fucking leave.
what? Look, I don't just rap.
Mm-hmm. I would sing Stone Temple Pilots, same thing.
Our last film, The Grandmaster.
So awkward.
He got awkward.
Is an action drama about the martial arts legend Ip Man, who would later go on to train Bruce Lee. Those of us who listened to the After Dark martial arts episode, you'll know who we're talking about. This film, though, is directed by Wong Kar-wai, who also directed the incredible films In the Mood for Love, Chungking Express, and 2046. It also stars Tony Leung and Zhai Zhang. Scotty, if there was one foreign film I would urge you to see, it's In the Mood for Love. But an action movie like this might be a better introduction to Wong Kar-wai. Are you in the mood for an ass-kicking?
Well, yes, but not in the sense that you made it sound. This movie looks really interesting. In the trailer, these foreign films where they do the voiceovers and you don't hear any of the dialogue because it's obviously in their language are always a little awkward for me, but this one actually worked really well. It looks like exactly what I want to see in a martial arts movie. Very artistic, some very cool shot cinematography. And I don't think I've seen a really good one since House of Flying Daggers, which I think is the same actress, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she was also in that.
And I really enjoyed that one quite a bit. So I'm not going to necessarily rush out to see it, but I'm going to check this one out at some point.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out. Probably not at the theater, but definitely want to see it. I've seen the first two Ip Man movies, so I know this one is later, but just not got the same characters same actors. But definitely want to check it out. I've invested quite a few hours in the first two, so I want to kind of see
To be clear, this is not It Men 3. That's a completely different movie.
So this is just more.
This is more another kind of film another about this film. Guy. Okay. Yes.
Still good enough for me. He's a very interesting character. Wouldn't mind getting a little bit more information on it and maybe seeing maybe how they kind of handle some of this and maybe some of the situations from the other movies from a different angle. So
I want to see it. I mean, it looks really interesting. So. And it's
Have
getting
you guys seen any
reviews.
Other of Wong Kar-wai's films?
Nope. I don't know.
No, I don't know.
No, I highly recommend you check them out, especially.
I can't even say his name. Will you mean check them out?
Oh, they're really good.
I will. Is it on Netflix? Are they on Netflix?
I don't know. Well, we'll have to investigate then.
My Blueberry Nights? Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Check them out.
I like
so there
muffins.
You go. Of these four films, Closed Circuit, Getaway, One Direction, This Is Us, and The Grandmaster, which one are you guys most likely to find yourselves in the theaters watching when they come out, Aaron?
Oh, this is the worst weekend of the summer, man.
Yeah.
I stay home and watch TV, maybe. I might be caught up to Breaking Bad by then. I guess Getaway.
Scotty?
Yeah, probably. It's just like the least of evils here. The Grandmaster.
Yeah, I'm resetting it. I'm going Grandmaster too. Because Getaway, I'll see it on DVD in 8 days. So.
Yeah, it'll be on the 2-pack Walmart special with Closed Circuit.
Yep. By Thursday.
2 for $5. Grandmaster for me also.
All right, well, let's make this a clean roundhouse.
Wah!
Oh.
Grandmaster. So there you go.
Did you just roll dice, Dungeon Master? I don't know what
I did. I'm rolling my D20.
You can hear us. Listen and subscribe on iTunes, your Stitcher Radio app. Give us a thumbs up if you do, or through our RSS feed at thehollywoodoutsider.com. Remember, it just changed, so check it out. There's a new episode every Thursday.
Also, we've said it before, but if you guys do listen to us on iTunes, do us a favor and give us a 5-star rating and maybe write some nice things about us. Kind of helps us out a lot. So.
Scotty likes to hear nice things about his hair, and especially his head.
My hair?
His giant cranium. He really wants to hear more about that.
I got called Megamind today.
Huge.
It's a huge melon. Go upstairs and lay on your huge pita.
What's this movie?
What's this movie? Each week we play ours or a listener suggest a clip from a movie. If you think you know what the clip is, email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Tweet us or Facebook us the answer, and next week we'll give you a proper whole shout-out. Last week's answer was Brian's choice, and it was Rush Hour 3. Stephen F. and Sean M. got him correct. We had a lot of Rush Hour guesses, but they were all the wrong ones. Brian was a sneaky little bitch on that one.
Yep.
This week it is Scott's turn. If you think you know the answer, email us, and here's your clip.
And you are Gina?
Gina. Hey, what's up?
Nothing.
Look, I'm going to be real honest with you. It's been a long time since I've been with a man. Spent a lot of time with the ladies. Looking to get back up on that pogo stick. You know what I'm saying?
All right, let's go to the couch. We'll talk about TV and home video news. Netflix just locked up a deal to offer their home video releases day and date with the video releases for the Weinstein Company. Is that a big deal or what? They're screaming it is.
Yeah, they're calling it Weinstein's, whatever. They're saying it's one of the largest deals they've ever, or one of the biggest deals they've ever made. So it's, I mean, not HBO, not Cinemax, not Showtime, Stars, etc. But Netflix basically gets their exclusive movies. So some analyst from Lazard Capital estimates that Netflix will pay approximately $30 million per year.
Wow.
So anyway, that $7.99 a month, you know that shit's about to double. by 2016, you know that's going up.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I would pay it.
Yeah.
I'd pay up to probably $20 a month for Netflix. I use the shit out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do too.
It's one of the few things that I think is worth, the value is worth what you pay for it.
So I think it's actually really cheap now.
I'm really surprised it's still $8.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason it isn't doubled is because that one time they did it when they didn't have tons of content, and they were, what, you can't do it? And they revolted. But now that they have original series and stuff.
Yeah, these people are also estimating that Netflix's movie lineup will be second only to HBO over the next few years.
Wow.
So this is really a huge step for making streaming movies the norm.
Whoa. We're all for getting Quickster pretty quick, aren't we?
It's going to happen, man. It's going to happen.
And Redbox, they were trying to do a streaming service,
yeah,
too.
I don't think it's working, though, because they've had it for a year. And do you have Redbox instant streaming?
No, I keep getting invites for it, and I keep thinking about it to try it out, and then I just don't.
I keep remembering I already have Netflix. I don't need a second one.
Yeah. So. If I were going to do anything, I think I'd try out Hulu before I'd try Redbox.
Mm-hmm. If anything, Redbox should just partner with Netflix. And, mm-hmm. You know. But everybody wants to be their own thing. Well, speaking of Netflix, if you're an Orange is the New Black fan, sorry to disappoint you, but Laura Prepon will not be on throughout the next season of the show. She moved on.
Is there Prepon?
Prepon. Oh, yeah, because I'm sure her schedule is so booked.
Well, considering how good of a job she did on that first season, she actually surprised me with how good she was. You know, I think most people just remember her as Donna from That 70s Show, and that's kind of where we left her. But seeing her in this one, she did a really good job. So it wouldn't surprise me if other people didn't take notice and suddenly start wanting her to be in their TV shows or maybe their movies. And so her list, you know, her dance card is maybe starting to fill up. So she's going to be leaving the show next season. They are going to finish out her character's arc through the season. I'm not sure exactly when she's leaving, but she won't be there at the end of it. And they're leaving it open that maybe at some point she could come back. My question, though, is this is supposed to be based on a true story, you know, based on a book written by the woman who her character stars in the show. How accurate can it be now if people that she has in her novel in the TV show are now just kind of coming and going? Obviously, we've left the realm of any kind of realism a while ago. So, you know, part of the joy of the interest of watching the show was seeing this woman's journey. Cause I at least had thought that maybe some of it was real or based on things that actually happened. Now I'm just assuming that it's just a straight up piece of fiction, but
I don't think it's going to affect anybody except people that read the book, man. I don't know anybody that even knew there was a book.
Probably nobody's read it or nobody that is listening to us right now has read this, but I like Laura Prepon. I think she's a fine actress, and I enjoyed seeing her on the show. But hopefully she's leaving for, you know, maybe bigger and better things.
I didn't think she was that – I don't think she's that great on it. I mean, she's serviceable. She does a fine job, but
I liked her. I thought she really showed some emotion.
Yeah, she didn't impress me at all.
This is one of those stories that I kind of wish I hadn't read or heard about because I did – you know, now we know that there's going to be an exit for her. We don't know how it's going to happen, like Justin said, but I would rather have discovered that by watching the show.
Yeah, because I'm like six, maybe seven episodes into the series right now, so
now you have an idea.
No, but you don't know what that ending is. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, hell, what show in between seasons don't we get some kind of news about a cast member that
That's true.
Sheds a little bit of spoilery light?
Well, Robert Rodriguez's production company is launching two series based on his films. From Dusk Till Dawn, which we mentioned a while back, but El Mariachi, good idea, or is it sucking the well dry?
You really want to call that just machete, don't you?
I do. Everything's machete.
I don't know. At what point is he ripping off himself by doing
this? He's been ripping off himself with every movie for years.
Yeah. I don't know. And those stories seem better suited for a two-hour movie instead of a series, at least to me.
They've had a series. It was called Those Three Movies.
No, I mean like a...
Fucking, come on.
No, I mean a TV series. Like,
that's what he's saying.
Yeah. That's my point, is there's no need for a TV series. He's done 6 hours of this storyline.
Yeah.
Eight, if you count El Mariachi and Desperado.
I would say that I really like Robert Rodriguez. He's got a really, really interesting eye for action, a cheesy action, not direct action, but the El Mariachi story has been told. And I think like each movie was just a remake of the previous movie. It's what it feels like. There isn't a deep story to this series. I see no way to make it a series.
Not to say that these films are as good as, or the TV shows based on them will be as good as, but the same kind of thing could have been leveled at Buffy the Vampire Slayer. What do we need a TV show about this one-note character for? And then, you know, 7 years later, we've got one of the best television shows that was ever produced. Would a From Dusk Till Dawn TV show be of that kind of everlasting quality? I don't know.
You're bringing
up the
exception to the
rule. Give the guy a fucking chance.
Well, From Dusk Till Dawn has got the potential for a lot more different stories.
Mm-hmm.
That universe, I think that actually might work a lot more than El Mariachi. Now, the El Mariachi thing it was said for a Latin American network. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Is this for
what, Telemundo or something?
Yeah. I mean, is it for something that basically, okay. Well, I mean, is it something that, you know, Latin Americans will watch like on a Latin American channel, or is it something that is just that's on a, I don't know, ABC, FX, HBO, something like that. But it's just, okay, we're going to target the Latin American.
No, I think he's specifically targeting Spanish audiences. I don't think it's going to be on regular network television. I think it's going to be on Spanish language channels.
That's what I'm asking. All right. So I don't know. Fine. I ain't too, I'm not very plugged into the Latin American networks and that kind of stuff. So if that's what they want, then
come over to my house, man. It's on all the time.
I mean, if they were doing a telenovela version of El Mariachi, I wouldn't be interested at all. But if you were talking about some kind of, you know, Breaking Bad gritty type of El Mariachi TV show, I would actually be willing to give that one a viewing.
Like if they made it just like a Telemundo show where he walks in and
hey, El Mariachi, where you been?
And then she just heaves her cleavage at him. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a Telemundo show.
Part of my appeal for El Mariachi was that it was only made for like $7,000.
Mm-hmm.
And to watch that, really that good of a quality, is amazing.
Literally $7,000.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, that was the first movie. Literally $7,000.
And almost all of his movies are actually really cheap. None of his movies cost like $100 million, even when he's had the chance to.
Yeah, and if you pick up some of the DVDs with all the extras, where the behind the scenes stuff, he is basically, just buy his movies, that's film school.
Mm-hmm.
He shows you how to make very cheap brain explosions, you know, that kind of stuff. How to splatter, you know,
anything
brains against
how to make a nice, you know, a nice taco.
Yeah, he has 10-minute film cooking school, which is really interesting. Mm-hmm. Last thing, it's also not in the format, but it came up right before the show. They're in the process of making a Rambo TV show, and Stallone's going to be a creative consultant. I don't know how much he really needs to consult, and he might possibly drop in for a cameo.
Like, is the last movie was so successful, or
I have no idea why. What is Rambo going to do? Just wander around fighting wars left and right?
Rambo was interesting when it.
He's gonna be like 18 crossed with kung fu.
Yep, fighting the war on performance enhancing drugs.
Rambo was interesting when you had the whole post traumatic stress thing going on in the first movie. After that, it was just violence.
I really liked the first movie, and I really liked the last movie. The middle two movies were like, what the fuck was that? Do either one of you guys, Brian, you like Rambo? You want a Rambo TV series? You want to each week see him gun down some random stranger in a small town?
Fuck no. This is dumb.
Put that on the poster. Yep. Brian Williams, this is dumb.
And it's not going to be him in the lead, so it'll be like probably some kid, you know, his nephew Rambo or something.
And then you see Stallone on screen, and it's just going to be weird.
Well, it's like, already weird to see him on screen. Have you seen his face?
Yeah. No, but I mean,
exactly.
Because he is John Rambo.
Yeah.
You see him on screen with just a...
He'll have his nephew, who's named Jack Rambo. And he's off to right the wrongs that America has caused.
Yeah, he goes, pulls him out of the Poontang Boofu, wherever the fuck he's at out there.
Poontang Boofu.
And then, of course, he gets... You know, and then
I thought he said booty tang at first.
you know, so whatever. It's whatever. They'll get John Cena to play his nephew or something.
And they'll sit down at a table. And Brian
and then Wolverine
slides his claws into the money. All right, let's go to DVD and Blu-ray, Scotty.
All right, we're looking at August 27th. We've got three films and three TV series. The first is The Great Gatsby. There's actually a written review that I wrote, and we also talked about it on episode 93.
That I wrote.
It's the only one I've written, man. I want to pimp it out a little bit. I gave it a $6 out of $10. Aaron reviewed Pain and Gain on episode 91. He also had a written review that you can check out on the website. He gave that one a 450 out of 10.
Yeah.
Mm. My wife actually downloaded that on iTunes. I have to watch it.
Good. Let me know. I'm sure you'll love it because I didn't.
Also, both of the audio reviews are available on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/theho podcast, and you can check out some past episodes as well. The third film is a movie called Kon-Tiki. This is a movie about a guy in the 40s who rides a wooden raft 4,300 miles across the Pacific.
It's a biography.
The three TV shows, the first season of Elementary is available on disc, as well as the third season of Walking Dead and the fifth season of Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of motherfucking Anarchy. Say it, teacher.
I can't.
Chicken. Like your kids are listening, for crying out loud.
And with that, we'll move on to our Recasting the Classics segment. This is where every other week or so-ish, basically one of us hoes gives to one of the other hoes a film and is given them the task of recasting an older movie as if it were being remade with modern actors. Last week...
A couple weeks ago,
Aaron was given... Justin gave Aaron
Jesus Christ.
Tremors.
I was confused. This is Aaron.
You're usually confused. Shit. Okay. As some of you may recall, a few episodes back when we were talking sci-fi, one of our listeners...
Oh, God.
...picked Tremors as one of his favorites. Justin and I proceeded to have a pissing match on if it qualified as sci-fi or not. I say yes, he swears it doesn't. That's neither here nor there. But to be an a-hole, he decided to assign me Tremors to recast. So I am being nice, and I'm going to oblige him. So here's who I would cast for this sci-fi masterpiece. Kevin Bacon played Valentine in the original. You need someone a little younger, but you still want them fun. They can have a little fun and say some cool-ass lines like, fuck you. So I picked Taylor Kitsch. Taylor Kitsch from such sci-fi classics as John Carter and Battleship. I think he'll fit right in.
Yeah, but the movie would bomb automatically.
It's Tremors. It doesn't need to make much more. Fred Ward played Earl. Earl was Valentine's kind of old man wisdom. He was the one. He was kind of curmudgeon-y. He walked around, whatever the hell they were doing together. But he was basically his old man. Essentially. Not literally, but he looked up to him.
They were handy men.
But you need somebody a little older, a little wiser, can crack, a little sarcastic, but really is serious most of the time. I picked Leonard Nimoy.
Whoa! Yeah, that's who I chose.
Oh, well.
He's way too old.
Leonard Nimoy for who?
For Earl, because he fits in. It really fits in with the atmosphere.
He can't even walk. How the fuck is he going to run across a desert?
He works. Finn Carter, she played Rhonda. She was the girl in the film. She was a geologist. And you're looking for somebody a little younger, attractive, that can fall for
Mr. Valentine. A sci-fi movie.
Battlestar Galactica's Katie Sackhoff. That's who I would choose.
Not bad.
And Michael Gross's character of Burt Gummer. I think Nathan Fillion. You need someone a little older who can be fun.
I can see that.
Who can be cheesy as hell. That's who I would cast.
I'm pretty sure Justin can see Nathan Fillion in many, many roles.
I don't think Justin's picked up that these are all sci-fi related actors either. But that's
okay.
It would also be pretty fantastic if we could get the Wachowskis to direct it. Honestly, so now let's hand it off to Brian. Brian, in 2 weeks, I want you to recast the Blues Brothers. I want you to recast Jake Blues, who is played by John Belushi. The late John Belushi. Elwood Blues, played by the now humongous Dan Aykroyd. Trooper Mount, who is played by Stephen Williams. He's the cop. And Curtis, who is Cab frickin' Calloway. Can you handle that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's fun talking to you. All right. Now let's go to our From the Outside In topic. Each week, we actually have two topics this week. But we have a topic that's on ours, our listeners' minds. The first one comes from Dustin B. He says, villain deaths have been a major satisfactory element in most action movies for decades. All the James Bond movies had the antagonist death scene down to a science. The more you hated the main bad guy, the more theatrical the death scene will follow near the climactic part of the movie. I would like to know which villain death scene is the most memorable, satisfying, and over-the-top to you. My top pick for memorable, satisfying, and over-the-top would be Cohagen from Total Recall. Slow death in the Mars environment while making that god-awful sound will never leave my memory. Honorable mention would be the Senator, young and old, in Time Cop, because two birds with one stone occupying the same space equals movie magic. Touche. So first up, what are your favorite villainous deaths, guys? Justin?
Oh, the one that leapt immediately to mind, and I think it really scarred me at a young age, was the SS agent Major Taut getting his face melted off in Raiders of the Lost Ark when the Ark was opened and, you know, all the lights went flying out and his just basically he was like a wax candle just melting all the way through. And that was traumatic for a young person to have to see, yet also quite wonderful to see a Nazi getting his face melted off. And Scotty was talking about this movie off the air. And I may now be spoiling it, but Simon Phoenix being turned to ice and then shattered into a thousand pieces by a mighty John Rambo kick in Demolition Man.
That was a bad way to go, man.
Anytime that happens, it's gross because you realize after a while he will thaw and then you're just going to have little bloody chunky bits of people everywhere. That's kind of gross.
Well, that's why you got to clean it up quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do before it all melts off.
You got to have the broom handy and the mop.
Yep. And of course, you know, the Emperor at the end of Return of the Jedi getting flung off of the scaffolding by Darth Vader and plummeting down, screaming the whole way like a bitch, and then blowing up.
He's still screaming somewhere.
Somewhere.
I remember as a kid.
Galaxy far, far away.
I remember as a kid watching that on VHS and freeze framing that to see like the skeleton image inside Darth Vader. Yeah. Like, did I really just see that? Because it was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Brian?
Wow, I'm actually amazed that you didn't take any of my three. So,
so am I.
My cameras in your house are on the glitch. So.
Gotcha. One is in just real no particular order here. Ming the Merciless from Flash Gordon.
You are obsessed with Flash Gordon, man. Like, dude, this is your Matrix Reloaded.
Go, he Flash, gets, go.
Yeah.
Go, Flash.
Right. Oh, God.
He gets a freaking spaceship through his back and out his stomach. That's pretty bad.
All right. That hurts.
Lieutenant Hiram Coffey. The name probably doesn't sound familiar, but that was Michael Biehn's character in The Abyss.
Oh, yeah.
He falls down the face of an underwater cavern and implodes from too much pressure. So
he had it coming.
I mean, he was a a-hole for sure, but that scene has just instilled a fear of something like that ever happening to me. Really, I think probably my favorite is Frank Nitti from The Untouchables.
Oh, he's on mine, you jerk.
Costner grabs him by the collar. You think he's going to shove him against the wall.
Yep.
But as the wall gets closer, he kind of pivots and shoves him over the edge.
He just keeps going.
And he just keeps going. And you're like, oh, my God. You know, and he falls slowly. And then I think if I remember it correctly, it's like, you know, it's all slow motion. You see him, you know, from the top angle looking down. And he's got a scared look and he's falling. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it cuts to the ground level. And then it's full speed on. And it was shocking, especially back then, because, you know, he lands on, you see what it would be like to land on top of the seats and everything.
Yeah.
It was just very, very painful.
Very Brian De Palma, too. And the best part about that was you really didn't think he was going to do it because he was such a good character, a good guy. Right. And I really thought at the time he was going to stop short. You know, it was going to be one of those moves or something like that. And he just threw that fucker off the roof.
And there was, and that was done so well. And I don't know of any other movie that has done that scene similar to that, where, you know, all right, well, you know, this guy's going to get kicked out of the airlock or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it really looks like he's going to shove him up against the wall or whatever it was. And then all of a sudden, whoop, little tweak to the left and see ya, bitch.
Back.
And to the left.
And to the left.
Was that your last one, B?
Yeah, that's it. Well, what you got? I know I stole one of yours, but
that's all right. Let's go to Scotty. He seems pretty excited.
Oh, well, Justin stole mine with Raiders, but I the guy at the end of the Holy Grail one always stuck in my head too. I think it was Donovan, that he kind of like just aged super quickly and turned into a skeleton.
Yeah, he chose poorly.
He chose poorly. And this one's probably way too on the nose, but there's something, that image of Hans Gruber getting thrown off in Die Hard.
It's a great choice.
It's always going to, because then they reuse it again in Die Hard with a Vengeance, I think.
Every movie.
Yeah, every Die Hard.
Oh, is it? I think it's mandatory. It,
yeah, Bruce Willis has got his contract now.
And this one might be cheating a little bit, but Fargo, the guy in the wood chipper.
Oh, God.
That, oh, yeah. For him, like, pounding the bottom of a foot into, like with a piece of wood, just the spray that you don't actually see it spray but just,
oh, it sprayed quite a bit.
You don't see it actually happen as much as you see just it everywhere, and you don't.
That's disgusting.
The first time I saw that, I went, "Wow, this movie's for real," because that movie didn't have that kind of a tone at all, and it just came out of a little bit out of left field for me, and that's forever burned in my head, and I kind of liked it.
The Punisher. Howard Saint is really not a great bad guy, but he's a real duplicitous bad guy. I mean, he kills Frank Castle's entire family. And at the very end, first the Punisher sets it up so that he kills his wife. And then the Punisher actually kills his son, or makes the circumstances that he kills his son. And then after Saint has lost, like, everything, he drags his sorry ass by a rope through the parking lot and blows up every car that he goes by. I just love that death. It was so great. And the whole time you see John Travolta's head screaming, and it catches on fire. It's fantastic. The guy's intestines and machete, when he grabs the guy's intestines and runs out the window and then swings back in through the other window.
I saw that movie with you in the theater, and that was the exact moment that this old couple got up and walked out.
I remember that, yeah. I actually got several more. I guess you guys are depressed. The one I've talked about the most, Hard to Kill, where he fuck you and die, and sticks a pool cue in his throat and kills him. Love that with Steven Seagal. Oren Ishii in Kill Bill, when she's scalped. Love that ending, because she's such a bitch. But a really interesting character. And Justin, how did you miss Blade cutting Reinhardt right up the middle in Blade 2?
No, I didn't miss it. I've got a list. I only went with a few of them. Hmm. I have more, but I didn't want to make it all about me, since apparently that's what I fucking do.
So bitter. And last, the shark in Jaws. You know, smile, you son of a bitch. That's one of the most immortal lines or mortal scenes in film.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Justin. You got a few more. Let them rip.
Now, the only other one I would mention is Gene Simmons at the end of Wanted Dead or Alive, when Rutger Hauer puts the grenade in his mouth and you think he's going to lead him off alive, since that's what he gets paid the most money for. But then he says, fuck the bonus, pulls a pin on the grenade and walks away.
That was great.
Hits Gene Simmons' head, boom, just blows off.
That was great.
It was a very nice end. So there you go.
All right. Well, we got many from listeners. Apparently that's a hot topic for everybody. So here, what do we have? Let's see. Hans Gruber from Die Hard. The audience during this is Stephen White said Hans Gruber. Just Stima or Stima. The audience during any Twilight flick. Ron Perlman in Blade 2. Jonathan Spear, the bad guy in Equilibrium, getting his face sliced off was pretty rad.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Vaughn let off some steam, Bennett. Oh, when he kills him with that freaking pipe.
Let off some steam, Bennett.
Let's see. Michael Hill, I would say when Val Kilmer died in MacGruber. That's a good one.
Never saw that.
David Kramer, the barbed wire death at the end of Silent Hill. I don't remember that, but he explained it. He said, basically, Christabella gets hoisted up in the air by a barbed wire and then ripped apart.
Oh, yeah.
You guys remember this?
Right when Pyramid Head, you first actually see Pyramid Head in full form. And then, just ripped to pieces.
David Kramer also said, Saruman in the extended edition of Return of the King. I don't remember what was different off the top of my head. Do you remember, Justin? You've seen him 47 times.
Gosh, his death in the extended version? I didn't really remember being any different.
He fell off the tower and landed on a cart or something, didn't he?
Oh, no, I think he landed on one of those. Oh, it was like a water wheel, but it had like spikes on it.
Yeah, and it just
kind of
just
one of them.
Yeah, that's right. And it kind of slowly just kind of didn't it kind of run him ground under the water?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Angela Lee says the Pee Wee Herman dying in the original Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie. Ooh. Do you remember that?
Ooh, ah, ah.
So good. And Greg Swigert said the glass guillotine from Ghost always stood out to me.
God, it's been so long since I've seen that movie.
Oh, he fucking had it coming, jackass. All right, now let's go to our second topic. Thanks for writing in, guys, man. There's a lot of good death scenes. Mark T wants to know, is there any movie that was so bad that you had to walk out of the theater or you just never finished it and returned it to the video store back when they had video stores? Scotty, you go first.
I came real close with Melancholia. I would... I've talked about it before. That movie, I stuck it out just because Brian had talked about it and wanted to see if there was any payoff at the end, and there wasn't. I can honestly say I don't think I've ever walked out of a movie out of the theater on my own volition. If I did, it was because I was with someone that either hated the movie or had kids that were acting up or something like that. I racked my brain and I could not think of a movie that I walked out because I wanted to.
Did your mom ever make you walk out?
No. Oh, well, you know what?
I fucking knew it. That woman was a witch.
I didn't
see
any movies in it. I never saw.
Yeah.
She kept me from walking in. So.
Wow. What about you, Justin?
I'm kind of in the same boat. I don't normally go to movies that I don't really fully believe that I'm going to enjoy, nor do I rent any. I mean, sure, I've turned off a bunch of movies on HBO or whatever, but I think the only movie I've ever come close to even walking out of was Ultraviolet.
The
follow-up to Equilibrium. I loved Equilibrium so much, and I like Mila Jovovich. The first trailer was like the best movie trailer I had ever seen up to that point, and there was nothing about it I didn't like. Drug my wife to the theater. I have not stopped eating shit about that movie since.
That was like a follow-up or a sequel or something?
Well, no, it wasn't a sequel. It was just Kurt Wimmer's next... Not Kurt Wimmer. Is it Kurt? Kurt Wimmer? Yeah. Kurt Wimmer's next movie. It had nothing to do with Equilibrium.
All right.
But it had that same kind of stylized action and whatnot. It looked so good. And then the movie, I'm sitting there inside, I'm screaming because it is so terrible. And my wife just keeps looking over at me and looking back at the screen and then looking at me. I to this day, I get shit. And it's been, 8, 10 years, something like that, since that piece of shit came out. I wished we'd left just so I wouldn't have had to sit through the agony of watching that. It was terrible, so
you
terrible.
You know what? I fell asleep during Ghost Rider. Does that count?
It's pretty close, unless it was because you were exhausted. But if it's because you realized it's...
If you just close your eyes and go, please go to sleep.
Well, yes, actually, that is one of mine. I've got the same thing, and it's not that I walked out of it. I didn't watch it till it came out on cable or Blu-ray or DVD, whatever. But I actually tried watching it 4 times and fell asleep every single time.
Which one?
The first one. Ghost Rider.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hated that. I don't know what it was. It's just boring.
Yeah. And how do you make a guy with riding a motorcycle with a flaming skull boring?
Cast Nicolas Cage.
Leave it to Nicolas Cage.
I'm not like a big Nicolas Cage hater, but he was not entertaining in that movie to me.
He's been taking paychecks for a while. Mm-hmm. Not paying his taxes, but taking paychecks. any other, Brian?
Chicago. If I didn't
really?
Know that.
Oh, man.
I like Chicago.
I do, too.
Doubting you. I'm just saying.
No, it was... Honestly, at the time, when it came out, I didn't walk out of... I've never walked out of a movie. I want to know that... Like, I would hate to know that I walked out thinking something, well, I'm just not getting this. This is stupid. And then all of a sudden, in the last 5-10 minutes of a movie, everything's tied together, and now all this makes sense. Or... maybe some stuff that I thought was dumb. Now, maybe it's a little smarter than what I thought. I just, I don't know. If I've invested an hour in it, I'm going to ride it out for that last 30 minutes. Hopefully not much more than that. So I just don't walk out of a movie, especially as expensive as they are nowadays. So, but it was, basically it was when I was taking one for the team. My mom wanted to go see it. That was kind of our thing. Every Friday we'd go see a movie.
I think Justin just snorted.
Yep.
I did the same thing. Don't you let them give you grief.
Oh, I know.
Love your mama.
Them grief.
That's right.
That's awesome. My wife is screaming at her radio right now, by the way. She worships. She loves Chicago.
I don't like musicals. And that's I told her, and I'd only seen the commercial once or twice. And I was like, I don't like musicals. I really don't want to go see this. She goes, no. It's not a musical. It's just a movie about music.
And you fell for that?
Yeah.
Stupid.
Whatever. Once. She'd been, I can't tell how many movies like King Arthur and Harry Potter and stuff that she sat through. So, I mean, it was still one.
You had it coming.
I had it coming for sure. So.
Oh, wow. I did not see Chicago coming. That's interesting.
Yeah.
You're done? I'm sorry.
I'm good.
Because I have a habit of cutting Brian off. So I want to make sure. You got everything out, right? There's nothing else on the plate? You just want to throw it? Okay.
Nope. I've shaken the dew off my lily.
All right.
Right on his back.
many years ago, my buddy Dennis, who does not really go to the movies very often, I've literally seen five movies with him. I've known him since I was 5 years old. He just doesn't go to the movies very often. I finally talked him into going to see one I had been dying to see. I love the director, love the stars. Natural Born Killers. We go to the theater, sit down, and it's an hour in, and he looks at me like he hates me. Like, doesn't want to be my friend anymore over this. I hate the movie. I can't stand it. Everything about it is just stupid. It's just bad direction, bad writing. It's trying way too hard. We sit there and say, you know what? It's almost over. I'm sure it's almost over. That thing just kept going, so we finally got up and walked out. It's probably 30 minutes left. I just couldn't handle it anymore.
I didn't.
Probably just, it's just awful. And The Fountain I wanted to walk out on, but I took my son, so I suffered with it.
Oh, I love that movie.
Of course you do.
I do.
Scott said it too. And my grandpa drugged me out of Platoon. He made me leave. He took me to see it, and then they started swearing because he wanted to show me what the real world of war was like, when young or whatever. And as soon as we got
so
in
the
there,
violence was okay, but the vulgarity was a problem.
But according to him, he's like, the violence was real. The language was not.
And I'm like, oh, yeah. Nobody swears.
He was in the war, dude. I think he would know probably more than you. So he didn't. He felt that they were just trying to dramatize it way too much. He went to the counter, demanded his money back, got it, because if you knew my grandpa, he got it. And we went and saw fucking Mannequin. I went from Platoon to Mannequin in the same afternoon. Just not a good day. And I was really into it. I'm like, Grandpa, they're blowing shit up. Go Vietnam.
You know a movie I should have walked out of and I would have had a better time if I had?
Cloud Atlas?
The Mist.
You're better off with Cloud Atlas.
Should have walked. Why are you antagonizing me?
I don't know. Why do you antagonize me?
You're antagonizing him with The Mist, man.
Yeah.
No, that had nothing to do with that. Well, I wasn't intending to.
Is
but
that sci-fi?
In retrospect, maybe it was.
Is that sci-fi?
Movie. Is it? Well, it depends on if that was a wormhole or something they were coming out of. Some dimensional tear. Then yes, it was.
I see. So you're saying you wish you would have stopped at a certain point, or you just so you could say that's
as soon
the
as they drove off into the mist, I should have just left there.
You could do that,
I'd have been so much happier.
I still do it with Lord of the Rings. The movie stops as soon as they bow. Never go any further.
There you go.
If the extended edition has 45 minutes of awesomeness after that, couldn't tell you because I stopped. All right, we got some from our listeners. Stephen White, I walked out of Get Shorty. Also, thought it was boring as hell, but I love it now. Mr. Anyone says Hans Gruber and Die Hard. Reese Bennett, the only one I wanted to walk out of and would have if I wasn't there with friends was Batman and Robin. I felt not only disappointment, but betrayal. So, of course, I went home and posted my angry rants on the internet. Don't we all? Adam Schreiber, Get Shorty, and I watched for free and wanted a refund.
Why are people leaving Get Shorty early? That movie was fucking awesome.
They didn't like it. Hey, everybody's different, man.
This is not Be Cool. Now, that movie was a turd.
Except for The Rock. The Rock was really good.
Yeah, he was okay. Yeah.
Sean McGuire, Little Nicky. Jump. Wasn't that bad? That Adam Sandler movie?
That was really bad.
That was awful.
The Great Katie says, only once, and it was Superstar. Jonathan Spear, the only movie I've ever walked out of was The Artist. It was late, I was tired, and we were bored, so we left and went in Act of Valor instead. That fucking movie.
The Artist, that was the silent one, right?
Yeah.
I like that movie.
Hey. Everybody's different.
No, I know. Just...
I'm more pissed that he went and saw Act of Valor, because those bitches shut down our YouTube feed. They didn't like our review. Lawrence Hansen, Crybaby. The Johnny Depp movie. That's, you remember that? Well, you probably weren't alive yet, Scott. Brad Peterson, I know that guy. I walked out of In the Army Now, the Pauly Shore flick. It was at the Dollar Theater, and I still feel ripped off. And
I miss Dollar Theaters.
Shelley Wister, Evil Dead. And no, I am not a fun hater. Sounds like you are. I'm just saying. I've actually heard several people walked out of Evil Dead because it was too...
That was pretty gory, man.
It was a little gory.
Little?
It was. I thought it was PG-13.
Like the Pope is a little Catholic.
Go, Scott.
Wimps.
Yeah, I caught hell from one of the guys I work with because his wife apparently listens. And
Ooh. He
was like, he texted me at like 10:30, 10:45 or so at night. Just, and we never text each other. That's mm-hmm. just, and it was... I almost got worried when I saw that his, you know, name come across as sending me a text message. I'm like, oh my God, he's been in a wreck or something. And why are you texting me? But anyway. Yeah.
But why are you the first call?
He was just hammering me. He goes, you know, he's like, fuck you for recommending this movie. This is horrible. He was just so, he's a germaphobe and stuff anyway. So any kind of gross stuff, he just.
It's called Evil Dead. What the fuck you people expect?
I gotta say, this is one of those movies I don't understand the issue, because it is called that.
Yeah. I mean, it's not called Fun Time at Parkland or something.
Cabin Fever.
Lincoln Rides at Parkland.
Yeah, this is Evil Dead. So, come on.
Oh, they thought it was a satire. I'm sure that's what it was. Speaking of Facebook, we always mention anybody that likes our Facebook page. We had 5 new likes this week. Luis Sedano? Sedano?
Sedano?
What?
Could be Hispanic, I'm just saying.
Could be. Luis Sedano. How's that? I like to try to throw a little Spanish accent every now and then.
Just say Louis Machete.
Louis Machete. Jared Scharfetter, Kathy Panazzo, Robert Noble, and Casey Donegan. So thanks, guys, for liking the page, and make sure anybody that likes it this week will mention you next week. That's what we do. And we really didn't get many emails this week, probably because we were jacking with the feed, so I hope everybody can find us. But, Brian, you've got a couple tweets. Go.
I do.
Well, go.
They're on the format.
They're on the format. I ain't got all day. Let's go.
Shut your pie hole. All right. Tom Beavis says, anytime. Fun. New episode, guys. D.A. Cheney. Says, Dear Brian, please watch Ninja Assassin. Don't let Aaron color your opinion. The action is badass. Sincerely, me. I will get right on that.
Ninja Assassin, I did enjoy that one.
It's good.
It's pretty bloody and it's fun.
The action is good. I don't like, it's not a good movie.
No, but the action's badass.
Yeah, the action is badass, but the movie is
just fast forward.
Just skip the story elements. Skip the story elements. Okay, well, you can always find us at TheHollywoodOutsider.com, Twitter, H_Outsider, Facebook.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. Leave us a message or text us at 818-814-6426. Listen and subscribe for free on iTunes, listen on your Stitcher radio app, or through our RSS feed. And RockfordCollegeRadio.com, Thursdays from 4 to 6. Remember, our email is feedback@TheHollywoodOutsider.com. Thanks to each of these numbnuts for coming every single week. Brian Williams.
My pleasure to come.
And remember, Brian is trying to build he wants to play against Toes. So email Brian@TheHollywoodOutsider.com if you want to play with him. If you want to play with some hoes.
Hey, they can play with you too.
Yeah, I'll play too, but I'm a hoe. Justin McCumber, who is a minor magic, is available now on Amazon, paperback, Audible, and Kindle. Thanks for being here, Justin. Oh, Jesus. Are you done? Are you done? Seriously?
Oh, it's so goddamn good.
All right. And Scott Clark.
Hey, thanks for having me, Aaron. And I apologize to three of you for me if I'm a little off tonight, but I am really, really exhausted. So anybody else listening?
No, you got your facts just as wrong as you normally do.
No, you could tell he actually did a little research.
Yeah. He brings it back. Oh, touche. Well, like I said, guys, we did change the feed, and we know there's some changes. So we really apologize if it caused you any inconvenience. That's mostly my fault, so don't blame anybody else. But we do appreciate you sticking with us, and I hope everybody found the show okay. If you got any friends that listen, make sure you tell them, because it is hard to let everybody know when you make a big change, and we won't be doing it again. We found the right people. We're sticking with them. So from all of us here at the Hollywood Outsider, the next time you go to a theater, buy popcorn.
Jeremy Spoken.
Did they have any other albums?
They had the one album, yeah. They had the other album, yeah.
I think Justin's actually butthurt.
You're so fucking funny.
You want to bet? I can see ass right here. This is ass.
Ass isn't nudity.
Nudity would be vulva.
Can you take your pants off at school and have your ass hanging out? No, it's nudity.
It depends on your school, man.
depends on your school.
I give A's for ass.
If you know what I'm saying. You give A's.
What? Well, to be fair, Scott told me about it a long time ago.
Yeah, but he's my brother, so I get relative credit.
No, my Scott, not your Scott.
Oh, fuck your Scott.
Again?
Whoa. But a Photoshop picture of you might be the album art.
What, with his huge melon? You don't need to Photoshop that, bro.
That fucking dome.
It's already big enough.
That thing's waiting for a Conehead reboot.
He modeled for the natives on Easter Island.
Man, your mom must have screamed like shit with that thing splitting her open.
It just poked out.
Not enough. She had another one.
Well,
she couldn't hold it in.
That just means...